Welcome to the Stabbin' Stylists Podcast. I'm Randa.
And I'm Ashley.
We are just two stylists who love true crime and hair, and we're going to tell you about both.
This is a true crime podcast. These stories may be disturbing to some. Listener discretion is advised. Hey guys.
Hey.
So it's not a hair fact. It's a little beauty fact. TikTok has everybody wanting to do their own nails. And their own lashes, which.
Hey, have at it.
Yeah, do your thing. But on your nails, make sure that you are using a lamp strong enough for the product that you're using. Because if you don't, then the metal does not get cured all the way. And you're walking around with uncured resin on your hands, and that's the reason that you're starting to have random allergic reaction skin issues.
Yeah, very, very important that you get that product cured all the way. That's why you want to apply in really thin layers.
And from two people that do their own nails, take their advice. You're better at it than I am, but I can.
I just pay attention at the nail salon a lot, and so then I just taught myself how to do it. Because, like, we got a little bit of nails in hair school, but we didn't get a lot.
No. And I've gotten better at it, like, the more I've worked with it. I've kind of learned what I like to do with them, I guess. So, yeah. Anyway, that's our fact.
Make sure your nail lamp is strong enough, kiddos.
Yeah. And that's something a lot of people wouldn't think of, so.
Okay, so today we are going to talk about Great Smoky Mountains National Park disappearances.
We told you last week, weird shit happens
in the national parks. Okay, so the first one that we're going to talk about, and I'm trying to kind of do these in like chronological order, like so that we can get to like more recent ones last. Okay, anyway, here we are. We are talking about Miss Trini Lynn Gibson. October the 8th, 1976. She lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. She is 16-year-old junior at Bearden High. Okay. Everybody describes her as like a hardworking girl, pretty much like followed the rules, did what she needed to do, was good at school. And she had worked a summer job and saved up all the money that she had made at that job. And she just bought herself a little $600 sapphire ring and then saved the rest. She looks just like the sweetest little girl. And her dad was very impressed by her ability to save her money and, you know, only buy herself like one actual valuable thing. Like, and so he was going to buy her a car for Christmas. And so she had things to look forward to. She had things at home that were going well. And she wanted to pursue landscape design when she got out of school.
That's fun.
Like, that's a very, like, 70s profession, I feel like. And everybody said that she didn't have a boyfriend, but, like, she was very popular. She was very well-liked. Like, she was,
nobody
like, the cool girl, but, yeah. But she wasn't dating anybody. And there was a surprise field trip that came up in Trini's favorite class, which was biology. Yeah. And they were going to go. They actually didn't tell the kids until they were on the way where they were going. They like told them what to be prepared for, but they didn't tell them where they were going. And so they got on the bus.
The '70s of it all.
I know, right?
Like, now you have to have
miles.
Yes.
Like written permission of exactly where you're going, exactly right. What you're gonna do, all that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so a surprise field trip for biology class. To Clingman's Dome and Andrews Bald. They're going to go on a roughly a 2-mile hike, right?
Okay.
Kids don't know until they're on the bus.
And imagine what the girls wore back then, too.
I know.
And you're going to make me go on a 2-mile hike in my platforms?
In total, there were going to be 38 students. And the whole point of the field trip was for them to go and observe, like, the underbrush, observe how the forest grows, whatever, whatever, to write a paper about.
I mean, it actually sounds like a cool field trip.
So, about 1:30 in the afternoon, the whole group reaches Andrew's Bald. Robert, who is one of Trina's friends, says he sees her, he hikes with her, and he lent Trini his jacket because it's raining.
Okay.
So it's like gross outside.
And they
too.
Weren't prepared.
Yeah. Robert, then people see him exit the trail saying he's going to go track a bear. Sir, what are you doing?
Yeah, he said, they told me to observe nature. Here I go.
Right. And so other students do see Trini still hiking. She's like in the middle of the pack, kind of. And people notice her stop and kind of like bend down to look at something. And they're like, oh, she's found something that she's going to write about or whatever. But nobody ever sees her leave the trail. And then the next thing they know, they look up and like, she's not there anymore. They figured, oh, she's on down or whatever. At 3:30 p.m., Wayne Dunlap, who is the teacher who brought everybody out, takes roll and realizes that Trini is not on the bus. And so he gets a small group of students together, and they all go trace the trail and go look again. Zero sign of Trini. 4:30, they alert the park rangers that there's a missing student, and Dunlap sends the bus back to school, but he stays to look for Trini. At 7:30, the official search starts. So
that's what, 3 hours later?
Yeah. Well, they had to get everybody in.
Good point.
To say, this is what we did. This is where we've looked.
And it is not 2024 where they're texting each other.
Exactly. They've got to make phone calls. People have to drive up there. Right. It's a whole thing. And then a storm rolls in and the temperature plummets. We're talking, it goes down like 30 degrees.
Well, again, right now.
Yeah. And, well, it goes from, like, the 60s to, like, the 30s.
Oh, yeah. Right? So it's, like, even colder. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, for safety's sake, they have to pull all the searchers back. And then, October 9th, so the next day, 5:30 a.m., Trini's dad arrives with shoes for the dogs to smell. But it's been raining all night.
Right.
The roads are all closed, like around where she went missing from. And 6 teams of dogs are sent out. A helicopter is sent out to search by air on like a 1/2 mile by 25 mile grid. So they're just going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. There are 3 dog teams that do pick up Trini's scent. But so the trail that they're going up goes, let's say, like north-south.
Yeah.
The Appalachian Trail crosses over it going east-west, right?
Okay, so, yeah, like a crossroads.
Right, and so it looks like she made a wrong turn and went down the Appalachian Trail.
Okay, which is very easy to
do. Sure. But also, how did you do that if you literally watched everybody walk?
Very good point.
Right in front, like, you were headed down this trail already.
And if she was, like, a popular girl, why was she by herself?
Right.
Like, weird. That's weird that she didn't have at least one friend from the class with her.
But these dogs pick her scent up, going up the Appalachian Trail, circling, like, around the bottom of the tower of Klingman's Dome, which is no longer Klingman's Dome anymore. It just got renamed to the Cherokee name.
That's awesome.
I'm going to butcher it when I try to say it. It's like Kiwa or something like that. You'll have to go look it up.
Okay. That's really cool, though. I love to hear that.
Yes. I thought that was great, too. But circled around the tower there, and then they lost sit. Like, that part of the Appalachian Trail gets really close to 411 right there.
Okay.
And they lost it, like, right around there. And so because of the three dog teams that found her scent, the FBI comes in because she's a kid.
Yeah.
And they track down anybody who's camped there in the last, you know,
yeah,
week or so. And they believe that she was abducted from the trail.
Well, I mean, that's weird that it went to the car like that. Or not to the car, to the road like that.
Right.
So that would make you think maybe there could have been a car there.
Right.
But then when somebody just parked on the side of the highway and was like, I'm going to, well, if they had it mapped out, I'm going to go this way, go up.
Yeah. She could have also very well have gotten lost and then found her way to the road and somebody could have nabbed her from the road.
That's a good point. That's one of those, anything's possible, you know? That's yeah, crazy.
But Trini's father actually made statements publicly that he believed his daughter was abducted. And come to find out, Trini had a stalker the year prior in school. This boy's name was Kelvin Bowman. He was so obsessed with Trini that he broke into the Gibson home. And Trini's mom was home and she shot him in the foot.
That's wild.
And this boy even made threats to kill Trini when he got out of juvie.
I started to say, it's crazy to think of how many like kidnappings there were back in like the 60s, 70s, whatever. It's actually crazy to think of how many stalkers there were.
Oh, it gets better. The school system just put him right back in the same school with Trini when he got out.
They didn't care.
No.
They didn't care. She probably did something to, you know, egg it on. They didn't care.
It was probably what she was wearing.
Right.
But school records show that Kelvin was at school all day October 8th. He was not on the field trip with them, and he wouldn't have even known where the field trip was going if he was not on the bus.
Yeah, it was like last minute.
Now, Robert, the hiking friend, remember him, who's gone off to Shark Bear, he made statements to the effect of, if Kelvin got her, she's dead. If she's alive, she must have run off with a hitchhiker.
That's a weird thing to say. But this thing is a kid, so.
Yeah. But also, Trini's comb was found in Robert's car, which apparently was not too weird because they would sometimes ride to school together. But, like, this comb apparently did not leave her purse.
Right.
And then Trini's ring and necklace were found in another student's possession. So you remember that ring she brought her saying?
Yeah, that's weird.
Weird. There was also a can of beer and three cigarettes found, like cigarette butts, found near the disappearance site. But the 70s of it all,
right,
there was no DNA to be found. And there were two other teenage girls who were found murdered in the area in the late 70s. But nothing could ever be traced back. Trini is still missing to this day.
That's wild. I have no...
No, there's no,
yeah, like that really, that could have been anything. That's weird that the kids had her stuff, but makes me wonder, I don't know why it would be in her purse, but if they like sound her purse and kept it and then they realized she was missing and then they were,
then they were like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would make sense on why they had any of her stuff. But why would you have your necklace in your purse? That's weird.
Strange. And then the whole, the storm rolling in, like, right, the same time she goes missed, like, that's weird. So our next one is Miss Thelma Pauline Holly Melton. And we are going to September the 25th, 1981. We're going to Deep Creek Campground in Bryson City, North Carolina, which was affected by this flooding here recently. Looking at you, Bryson City, we hear you. Holly and Bob have spent their summers in this Airstream on their campground, like every summer. This is what they do. This is where they go.
It's their thing.
Holly and Bob have, you know, they've been married for a while. This is Holly's third marriage, and Bob is 20 years her senior. Bob owns the campground, so effectively they both own the campground. Bob, at 78 years old, is mainly confined to the Airstream. He doesn't get around so good. He's got some health problems. But Holly, at 58 years old, is still out socializing. Right. She's out around the campground. She takes a daily walk with her friends. So she's still out getting it. She also volunteers daily at the senior city in Bryson City, serving food. So she'll serve meals to senior citizens. However, it's weird. Like I said, she does this daily. She does not volunteer the morning of her disappearance. So, weird number one.
Right.
Polly sets some spaghetti sauce to simmer on the stove, and she heads out on her daily hike with her friend Red and Truella. Now, I mean, these are ladies who also, they spend every summer in this campground. They all know each other when they come back. Like,
they look forward to seeing each other.
Right. Like, you basically have to have a membership to get into this campground. Like, they're not just going to let anybody camp here. Like, you have to reserve this well in advance.
Yeah.
And so they head out, and not far into the hike, Polly is kind of like lollygagging behind a little bit, you know? And the other girls are like poking fun at her a little bit for being slow. They're like, what's up with you, you know? Yeah. And they're joshing with her about one of these little men at the senior center making eyes at her. Like, oh, we've got a thing for you, Polly. You know, like, I think you got a little crush.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Polly picks up her pace and, like, books it past them. And her, the girls are like, where are you going?
Yeah.
And they just see her, like, book it over a hill. And they're thinking, like, this girl is being cheeky today. They were like, oh, well, you know, we'll get to the top of this hill and we'll see her. She'll be on the other side laughing and panting, you know?
She's going to jump out and scare.
Yeah, something like that. Like me or you would be if we were on a hike.
Honestly, jump out and scare me would be my first thought.
Right. And so they lose sight of her over the hill, and the girls, they go on, they do their hike, they go to their regular turnaround spot, still no Polly.
Probably just
they
like, come where the back, fuck is she at?
They're like, damn, did this bitch run a whole fucking marathon? Like, how did we miss her? Come back, and they're expecting Polly to be there, like, ha, 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 gotcha. Yeah. No, Polly when they get back. And so when she's not back to finish dinner, they call the party.
Right.
And the search starts.
That's weird for them. Oh, never mind. I started to say the lead, that they were right there.
Yeah. Dogs can't find her scent at all. Shoe prints are very limited. And the search goes essentially nowhere with the park rangers. Nowhere. They speak with Polly's pastor, who was like the other person who I guess she talks to the most. And they have had conversations about cheating spouses that he felt she was trying to, like, clear a guilty conscience, almost like almost like she like had to do it.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of evidence that, like, Polly was very depressed and she had an addiction to Valium. So this has been going on for a couple years, like since her mom died in 78, now in 81. So this has been going on for a while.
As much wasn't known about, like, addiction and pills and stuff back then, too.
Yeah, she was probably still prescribed.
Yeah.
The day before Polly's disappearance, Polly used the phone at the senior center several times. They didn't say, like, exactly how many, but several times. She had never asked to do this before. So who was she calling?
And Polly ran off. I'm sorry. If something happened to her, I'm so sorry for saying this, universe. Polly was tired of taking care of her husband. She was tired of her life. She had it set up with somebody. She had this whole thing planned, and I think Polly ran off.
Well, in April of 82, so the following year in 82, a check for the interest on one of Polly's accounts is cashed in Birmingham, Alabama. But they don't know who cashed it. There's no other money. Like, the money that's in the account is not taken out. Just the interest.
Yeah. Maybe that's all she needed.
Well, that's all they got.
And who else is on the account would be
but
my question.
But it hasn't been touched since.
Right.
So, yeah. Where were you at, Molly?
That one, I don't know. She could have made herself disappear. She could have ran off. That one, I don't know. I hope lightning doesn't strike me right now or something happened to her and I just said she ran off, but.
Yeah, it's just so weird. Like, you just, all her medications were still there. All her clothes were still there. Everything was still there. Okay, so now we're going to do a big time jump, okay? We're going to March 15th, 2012. We're going to talk about Mr. Derek Luking. He's 25 years old, and he goes missing from the Microtel Inn and Suites in Cherokee, North Carolina. Derek's roommate hears Derek's alarm go off as he's leaving for work, and he thinks, like, oh, Derek just forgot to turn his alarm off, like, I'll go check or whatever. And there's no Derek in there, and so he just goes on to work, whatever.
Right.
Derek never shows up to work that day, and he's not answering anybody's phone calls, and Derek's parents are contacted by the roommate. And so they drive down immediately. Yeah. They're like, this is fucking weird. And the family finds searches on Great Smoky Mountains National Park on Derek's computer and his hotel reservations for the Microtel Inn and Suites in Cherokee. They also found receipts for over $1,000 in camping and survival equipment.
Okay.
This man has maps, axe, military survival manual, knives, sharpeners, Coleman compass, parachute cord. There, he bought a Bear Grylls survival kit. Apparently, he was a big Bear Grylls fan, like huge.
It sounds like he was just going to go out there and live his...
He sounded like he was ready to go wild man it, right? And so March 17th, 2012, the family goes to the Microtel. They watch cameras and see that Derek leaves at 4 a.m. from the hotel. And the family is like, okay, we think he's in the park.
Yeah.
We don't know where, but we think that's where he is. They notify park rangers. And a little while later, Derek's white Ford Escape is found in the Newfound Gap Road parking lot with a note that says, don't follow me. So this man has decided to run off, right?
Yeah. And I mean, I'm looking at a map right now. That's in the middle. There's nothing.
Nothing.
Around.
Also, inside the car is much of the equipment that Derek has purchased. So he doesn't have half of it, including his sleeping bag and tent. The official search ends on March 25th because they're not finding anything.
Right.
Other than the car, they found nothing.
Well, that's right on the Appalachian Trail. And
it would be hard to...
And it, like, goes into North Carolina and then up to where it's, like, jumping back and forth, Tennessee, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. So he could be in...
Anywhere.
Any of those states, anywhere.
Well, I think that park rangers, they are for the park. So, like, state lines don't matter right. for them.
No, but that's what I'm saying. They're like, that is just already two states right there. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to be going,
you can be gone there be pretty gone. Quick. So after the official search ends, the family organizes a volunteer search that covers 175 miles of trails and distributes 3,000 flyers, but no sign of Derek ever pops up. No word of Derek, nothing. September 2012, a backpack and human remains are found near Newfound Gap parking area, but they're determined to be another young man who went missing, Michael Giovanni, Cochini,
yeah,
who was 23 years old. He went missing, and this is the trippiest part, he went missing March 18th, 2012, the day after Derek went missing. Michael's car was also found at the Newfound Gap Road trailhead on March 20th. Michael left a note in his room that said, goodbye, thanks for everything. But there is absolutely no link between Michael and Derek.
Is this like that forest in Japan?
You don't know, but the family still has not had Derek declared deceased. They believe that he's still out on the trail.
I don't know, man. That's wild to live just on the trail. But then again, like I said, you can be gone. You can disappear. He could be anywhere living.
It's just weird to me that there are two mirrors of each other and they found one and they haven't found the other.
Right. And I don't know. It's hard for me to believe that he'd just be out there living on the trail. Why didn't he take any of his stuff with him?
Yeah, that one is wild. And then here's our most recent one that we're going to talk about today. Mr. Paul Parr, who was 50 years old, on July 5th, 2014, walks into the Wallasi Yee Interpretive Center and asks the clerk if she'll watch his car for $200 and says he'll be gone 4 to 6 months. He's like, hey, if I give you this $200, will you make sure they don't tow my car? I'm coming back for it. 4 to 6 months, doing the trail. I'll be back.
That's a lot of responsibility, but...
And the girl is pretty much like, hey, man, sorry, I can't do that. Later, like days later after this girl reports that, like, she tells her boss and the boss is like, yeah, that's a little weird. Days later, a hiker on the Appalachian Trails finds a backpack with boots, a sleeping bag, $3,000 cash, and Paul's ID in a wallet. But nobody, it's just, the backpack's just sitting there. No sign of anybody there. No sign of... No note, no fuck you, no I'm leaving, no nothing. It's just sitting there. Paul's girlfriend at the time of his disappearance says he was going through some mental health struggles and he did talk about leaving, but it was never like, I'm going to go do this. I'm right. going to go do whatever. But Paul did draw out $5,000 out of an account. So there's $3,000 of it. He's got $2,000. Or has he already spent $2,000?
Right.
There have been some sightings of Paul on the Appalachian Trail at Westner Bald, but nothing recently. So Paul's was the one that I was like, I don't know what happened to this man.
He might still be out there.
He might be out there trucking.
That's weird just to set your stuff down, though.
That is very weird. Just your whole pack. Just boom. Yeah. That's how a lot of those missing 411s are, though. Like, they'll find their boots and their backpack and no other trace of them.
Like, the stuff they
Or they'll be, like, food in their backpack.
Right.
No other trace of them. It's just weird. It's so weird. These are the ones that didn't sit right with me.
Right.
This last one we're going to talk about did not happen necessarily, like, inside Great Smoky Mountains National Park. But this man went missing from his property, which backs up to the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Okay. So this is why this one is not in the timeline, but it's an honorable mention.
One in the same.
Right. So we're going to August 23rd, 2008, Mr. Mike Heron's property in Happy Valley, Tennessee. Mike owns a construction company. He employs his two sons, loves to be outside, loves to go manage his property, you know, that kind of stuff. He calls one of his sons to borrow a mower and goes, picks it up. Mike gets to the property, starts his routine, goes over and talks to his neighbor on a four-wheeler. Like, they were close. Like, they talked, you know, two old men meeting in the road talking
kinda
shit.
Talking, yeah.
And then, so, nobody really thinks of anything. Like, last this neighbor talked to Mike, Mike was fine. Right. You know, he was about to go mow the property. All good. When the sons don't hear from Mike on Monday, which dad is the boss, he's supposed to be here.
Right, he should be in there.
Yes. The boys go to the property to look for him because they're thinking like, oh shit, dad's run over himself with a fucking mower or something.
That, yeah, would have been my first thought.
Yeah.
Flipped the four-wheeler.
Yeah,
or
something. Trapped under some,
right.
Something he was trying to move, something like that. When the boys get there, the truck's there, the mower's there, the four-wheeler's there. Mike is missing.
Just poof.
So they call the police. Cops show up, immediately started an investigation. They're 2 days behind already, and it starts raining. And so the search starts at 8:30 a.m. Tuesday, like the official, like, dog team, helicopter, everything search. There is a second four-wheeler that the boys realize is missing, and that four-wheeler is found, quote-unquote, ditched near Happy Valley Road Loop. Now, when I say ditched, if you know anything about riding a four-wheeler, ATV, whatever the fuck you want to call it, you have to turn the gas on and off. The gas was on full blast. The ignition, the keys were still in the ignition, and the gas tank was full. It's not like you ran out of gas. But it's like the way that he pulled up, it's like he cut it real quick so he could hop off of it without having to pull the brake.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's on a hill and he cut it so it wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
And the ignition is still on. So, you know, you have to turn the key on and then you have to hit the button to
hold it.
Yeah. To start it. The ignition switch is still on. The gas is on full blast. There's gas in the tank. the wheel is cut. I mean, it's all kind of like he just like bailed off this motherfucker.
Like he was just out of there.
Right. Now, it's very close to an abandoned cabin that is like around the property. So like if you've spent any time around Appalachia, you know, there's old homesteads back in the woods.
Just
there's
fallen
foundations. There's old little shacks and stuff because it is wet here and humid and things. They go and they search this little abandoned cabin or whatever. No scent, no tracks, no prints, no other tracks of somebody else. There's no nothing. There's no prints from Mike. There's no prints from somebody else. There's
where'd he go? Say he knows this area really, really well.
Yeah, where'd he go?
Yeah.
Why is your four-wheeler over here in the bushes on the side of a hill on?
And I mean, they searched that area, so it smelled like he just fell in something, you know?
Right. Like they went in the cabin and all that. So where the fuck is Mike?
Yeah. And I just looked at a picture of him. He's like an older, like capable man. Yeah. Like he.
Yeah, he was like our dad's age. So yeah. Like.
So, I mean, he could take care of himself. I can't imagine being overpowered by someone else. That is a weird one. I have no.
But here's the other thing is if you've ever been in a little holler like that, that neighbor that Mike was talking to knew somebody was there before Mike knew somebody was there. I guarantee you.
Very good point.
And that neighbor also happened to have been a park ranger in his career. He was retired now, but he was like, I can't tell you what happened.
Right. Like I know what to look out for.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you other than like, I don't know where he's at, you know?
That's weird. That's so weird to me. People just.
Yoinked right off your own property.
Yeah.
With no trace.
I don't know. I was trying to just think of anything I
can. These are mind-boggling. These are the ones that I'm like.
Yeah. Because, once again, he knew that area. So I don't think he would have, like, slipped and, like, fell in a cave or something. He
right.
lived right there. And right. then why would he ditch his four-wheeler? Why wouldn't he turn his four-wheeler off, you know?
Right. If you were going to get off and go do something, you would at least turn it off. You might not right. turn the gas off yet, but you would at least turn it off.
Right. So that's weird.
Be careful when you go into the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. Don't whistle in the woods at night. Something might whistle back.
Right. Just in general, if you see a staircase in the woods,
then don't go up it.
Don't go up it. And if you hear someone calling for help,
go get park rangers. Yeah, that ain't your job.
That's not. And you don't know that that's a person. You don't know what that is. So call for someone. But more than anything, let someone know if you're going these places.
Share your location, please.
Yeah, yeah, there's no reason to not do that now. And I actually saw this on TikTok for all these floods. And this is a really good idea. But I didn't think if you're going somewhere that you might like run out of cell service, change your voicemail greeting to where you are. Yeah. And so then people can still find you.
That's smart.
I would have never thought about that, but that's what they were telling people like when the floods were coming in to mm-hmm. change it. So then if they lost everything, they could still be rescued.
Interesting.
So yeah, there you go.
Be smart, be safe.
Yes. Don't go in the woods by yourself.
Ooh. Don't whistle in the woods at night.
Bye y'all.